an interview with Glenn Herford of La Grande, Oregon, January 7th, 1998.
Maybe starting, Glenn, with a little bit of just brief information, your background as far as when you were born, where you were, and then how long you've been in the valley here.
Okay.
And that.
I was born in Cove, 1916, September the 29th.
And you lived in Cove?
And I've lived in the valley all of my life, with the exception of the about 8 years that I put in the military service.
And as far as your parents or relations like that, were they in the valley?
Yeah.
Quite some time.
Yeah, my father was born out on Cricket Flat.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And my mother was born here in La Grande. God, don't ask me when, because I can't remember. A long time ago.
A bit of a while ago, anyway.
Yeah? Gosh, yeah, Dad was born, I think, and... Well, I shouldn't say this, because it's got recorded on. But it was... a long time ago. Yeah.
What did they do? Pretty much farming and ranching?
Farm, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ranched.
Yeah. Well, like, maybe, to start with, would be... dealing with the Grand Ronde River system itself, and with that, I'm looking mostly along the waterways as far as vegetation changes and wetland areas or anything dealing, you know, in the early days, like they had the splash dams with the logging up there, you know, from Perry on up the Grand Ronde.
Yeah.
Anything you can recall on that, but maybe start with up in the upper reaches of the Grand Ronde itself, not in the valley, but from, you know, La Grande on into the headwaters.
Yeah, my grandfather, J.J. Conley, owned the Tony Vey Ranch, as they call it today.
Do you remember about what dates or when that...
No, but you could get it. You can go to the courthouse and get that.
Mm-hmm. Or do you have any idea about when Tony Vey bought that?
Well, Tony didn't buy it. His dad, Anton Vey, bought it.
Oh, uh-huh.
From my granddad. Mm-hmm. And this was... Well, this had to be in the early 1900s when he bought that. I remember my mother talking about it, that they wouldn't even fish the Grand Ronde River. When they lived up there, they'd go over up to at Crickies, you'd take the left-hand fork. Instead of going up around to Tony's, you'd take the left-hand fork, and there's another stream comes in up there.
There's Limbergen.
Limbergen.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's where my mother and the kids would go up there to fish.
What were they fishing for?
Trout.
Oh, for trout?
Yeah, lots of trout in there at that time. And just a little more history on that. Anton Vey put in the deed and recorded at the courthouse that as long as grandfather's kids and their immediate family was alive, we always have hunting and fishing rights on the part that Anton Vey bought from my grandfather. So...
That goes a long ways back,
see.
What was he ranching up there?
No, he farmed out here in the valley, but he bought that and run cattle and stuff up there.
That's what I meant.
He ran cattle and sheep, both.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you recall in your lifetime, as far as any change in the meadows up there of... you know, the vegetation and...
No,
or
I don't.
Do that.
As far back as I can remember, it looked just like it does today. Mm-hmm. Outside of maybe for a few years in there, maybe they pastured it a little bit heavier than what, when I can first remember it. See? And the old Anton, or the old Conley house burnt down, I can't remember the date or when, but I remember Mom and them talking about it. And the house that's up there now, not the new house, but the little house, is the one they rebuilt in this place.
Oh, I'll be there.
Because I picked up an old survey that was, I think, 74 or 82 when they did the original land survey.
Yeah.
And they showed there's a cabin just after you get into the meadow there, a little ways all down towards where you take off up the Grand Nan and split back to the airstrip. I think that was on their notes, field notes anyway, on that. But there's, at that time, supposedly just one settler in.
Yeah, when Granddad lived up there, he was the only one up there.
Yeah, so that's probably because they had one in Fly Meadow and one settler.
Yeah, they had one up Fly Creek, Fly Meadow. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Granddad also used, as you start on over toward Ukiah from there, and you get up on top of the mountain there where you start to break down Camas Creek, where all that meadow and stuff is up there now. That's where my granddad put up hay and kept his horses, a lot of his horses, in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he owned that. Mm-hmm. But he had it rented maybe from the government or something, or maybe, I don't know what it was, but then that's where he used to keep a lot of his horses in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember, Glenn, like going up from Le Grand here on up into the Bay Meadow area there of any change or conditions like the cottonwoods or willow brush or that over the years?
Well, you know, Jerry, that's a pretty hard question to ask because, you know, these cottonwoods, they only live about so long and then they die.
Mm-hmm.
And the willow brush is the same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of that up through there is alder,
mm-hmm.
if you've noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that stuff is the same way. About so many years and then,
sure.
then it
mm-hmm.
goes to pot.
Yeah.
So, this is, I don't know how to answer that question for you. I mean, you know, everybody's get one person's guess is just as good as the other on that.
Yeah, the thing is, I never ran into any type maps, you know, where anybody had typed it all. There's still a lot of remnants, you know, up through there in the Melvin Meadow area. There's quite a few cottonwood, you know, communities, you know, like that.
Yeah. And now, when I first can remember going up there, there was a lot more, well, we call them black pines out in the meadows than what they are today.
Oh, yeah. That's the lodgepole, you mean?
Yeah, the lodgepole. But we call them black pines way back there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed it to lodgepole.
Right.
So, but that's where Granddad and the family used to cut their firewood,
mm-hmm.
was out there in the meadows from them black pines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, of course, after the beetle hit up in there, that, you know, he went in and took a lot of that stuff out of there. That changed up a great deal.
But then that's only been a few years back, really, when the beetle hit.
Yeah, it was about 70s, so that's relatively recent, you know, in comparison.
See, we're talking back, way back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I imagine the first time I went up there that I can remember, I suppose I was something like 4 years old, 5 years old, when the first time I went up there and can kind of vaguely remember what was going on up there, because I know us kids went out and played in the creek and the old Grand Round River, so, which kids always do that.
Oh, yeah. What about as far as the quality of the water at that time and the beaver and fish? Did you see any of that in that area?
Well, now, when I first went up there, I wasn't big enough to remember much about the beaver and the fish, but it's a sense there was some there, because in later years when I started going up there, there was a lot of beaver, a lot of salmon, and a lot of trout.
Do you remember about when that, what period of time?
In the later years, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I really started going up there was after World War II. So it had to be, I got discharged from the military service in 45. So it had to be from 45 on up this way,
mm-hmm.
you know, toward today. I remember my mother talking about when she was a little kid up there that you could put her walk across the salmon in the Grand Round River. There's so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that right there at the
right there,
the
right there in the middle?
Yeah.
Yep.
What about, did they use the Orcanum or anything? Do you know?
I don't know. I've never heard them say, you know.
But just a lot of them up there.
I imagine they eat all they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, that bad either.
Yeah.
Be a good supply. Did they ever say what kind of trout or?
Rainbow. Rainbow and bull trout.
Both of them are up there.
A lot of bull trout.
What about, like, since 1945, what you'd seen up there, do you recall, like, any, as far as the numbers there, of the changes over the years?
In the fish?
So, like the salmon, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't hardly see a salmon up there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, was there anything significant as far as, like, a time when that changed drastically, or just kind
of... No, it just started dwindling,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. From year to year, and it's the same way with the steelhead. Right after World War II, I fished a lot of steelhead up there.
Oh.
Never clear up there, but up, we fished up as far as Beaver, no, not Beaver Creek, the next one above there. Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook.
Yeah, we fished up as far as Meadowbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the closing line at that time, since World War II.
Did you ever fish for salmon up in there?
Nope, never did.
Just the steelhead?
Just the steelhead.
Yeah.
But seen a lot of salmon when I was up in there at different times.
Do you remember, like, what time of year that was that you're seeing them?
The salmon?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be along in August. Mm-hmm. That's when you'd see them out on the riffles. Making their nest for spawning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that just on the main Grand Ronde, or were there any of the other branches that you got?
Oh, on? That's the only one I had anything to do with. It was just the main Grand Ronde.
Mm-hmm.
That was all.
But that was about pretty much then up to there in the mouth of Meadow Creek, or up to that
well, direction. Up to far as Meadowbrook, you know.
Meadowbrook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd seen salmon way on up above there when we'd drive through there.
Oh, yeah.
Just monkeying around, just drive on up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so a lot of Sundays we'd take off and drive up there, we'd take a picnic lunch and drive up there and fish a little bit and you'd see if there's salmon up in there. Oh, you'd get a Sunday off from harvest, we would, and that's we'd take and go someplace. So.
Glenn, can you clarify that for me on, because now they call it like Meadow Creek, and McCoy comes into Meadow Creek, as far as that, and Meadowbrook. Didn't that used to be called Meadowbrook?
Well, it used to be, that's what I call it yesterday, is Meadowbrook.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It runs in right there at the bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just before you turn to go up to Starkey there.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought, because I know
it comes in on the right.
The old maps there had Meadowbrook, and then, you know, since then somebody changed it to Meadow Creek. I don't know. Just
well,
on that.
But Jerry, you want to remember they've changed this whole valley.
Oh, sure.
To all the names and everything. Mm-hmm. That's why the old timers don't know where they're at anymore.
Can't find your way.
They're lost anymore because they don't know where the places are.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. Just like the road names, you know, you can't figure out where you're at all.
That's right. Just like out going to Cove, but out there, what they call Carter Lake now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my great-granddad owned all of that in there, mm-hmm. A.B. Conley.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was always Carter Lake.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Or well, Conley Lake, wasn't it?
Conley Lake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was always Conley Lake.
Yeah,
I mean,
didn't know they changed it.
It's Carter Lake anymore. Yeah. That was our good bunch that we had in our county commission that did all that.
Yeah. No sense to it.
I won't name any names, but I can sure name you some names that might kind of floor you.
Yeah. What about, again, going up from just out of La Grande, up that direction of any beaver dams on the main river?
There used to be quite a lot of beaver dam on the main river. Now, I used to go up to Five Point. Weimer's used to own Five Point store and the cabins and all there. Now, their footer all gone. Now Stohlweimer worked for the Forest Service, and he had a heart attack a few years back, and they found his pickup and him going up from the Imanaha River. When you go from that White Horse Campground or whatever it is where you cross and go on up and come out over to Pine Creek, mm-hmm. Well, they found him down in that canyon there. And Stohlweimer was the same age, and he was born and raised over the Cove, and so I used to go up there quite a lot. And Stohlweimer would run up and down those creeks. We'd run up and down Five Point Creek in the river. And we used to do a lot of gold panning and stuff just for something to do, you know.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea, now, this has been years ago. I used to ride up there there used to be a bus line come through here called the New Brunswick. And I'd ride up there from the bus depot, which was in the building in the ground there now where the Eagle's Lodge is. Mm-hmm. And it was on the south corner of that. And it cost 29 cents to ride from there up to Five Point. But I'd go up there.
Well, the cabins and that, were they pretty much where the freeway is now, right close to the river?
Well, no.
Or were they back
they
up?
Was, they was, the road was over a little farther toward the railroad track, and then they mm-hmm. put the freeway in, and see, the cabins went on they was a kind of a horseshoe creek, only they wasn't any down at the creek, but they was on both sides, and the service station and the little store and stuff was right out by the highway.
Oh, but right along the old highway.
Yeah, right along the old highway there, old Highway 30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there were quite a few beaver then
yeah.
back up Five Points.
Oh, yeah, well, there was a lot of beaver up Five Points
yeah.
that time.
There's still, I was in there this year photographing, they're still in there cutting.
Are they?
Yeah,
yeah,
eating on some of the cottonwoods in there.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been in there early and cut a bunch that went down the river and then went back in, you know, working some more.
Yeah. It's too bad yeah. Howard Kentel is gone from us, because Howard Kentel was born and raised up there
oh.
at Hillgard. And he's been gone now for several years, and Howard and me was real close friends. And Howard could tell you how many beaver there was up there, in fact.
What about farther up along some of those meadow areas?
I never went way up that Five Point Creek.
No, I mean up the Grand Ronde, going back up towards
oh,
Meadowbrook.
Well, you know, all those places up there you could see where beaver had worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like there where the park is today, Red Ridge Park, I
yeah.
think they
mm-hmm.
call it.
Right.
You could
mm-hmm.
see all along through there where the beaver worked.
Oh, yeah.
They beaver seemed to like that alderwood,
mm-hmm.
and they just seemed like they work on that to beat the band.
Mm-hmm. Did they have dams right in the main river?
Well, not very, not very far across. They'd have some little dams out
yeah,
in it,
on the
know.
Edges there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right there where the park is now, where you turn to go to Five or up to Starkey area there, right down in the lower end of that flat. Now, there's a little creek comes in down there, and I don't remember what the name of it is. But they used to be a pretty good dam right in there
mm-hmm.
for quite a long time, because Stohlweimer used to go up there and fish some, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's you know, you remember these things when you was a kid.
Yeah. Did you get up into... Meadowbrook itself in the, you know, towards where McCord comes in,
no.
those meadows in there?
No, never did at that time. Now, I have in the last 10, 15 years, I went clear around through there and go up to Spring Creek and take off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can hit some other roads up in there. I was with different people. I never did it by myself because I didn't know where to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But... then you'd come out, after you get up there, you'd go over on top of the hill and then come down Meadowbrook.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That road's still there, they tell me.
Yeah, because when I was flying this last year, did some aerial photography, it looked like there at the, you know, down at the mouth of Meadowbrook, there's quite a bit of, you know, swamp area, marsh
yeah.
area in there.
Well, I think there mm-hmm. is, from the way I recall just going through there, driving
yeah.
through there, you know.
What about the, do you remember any of the splash dams? That, of course, those were from way back before the turn
nope.
of the century, of locations. Because there's one there in just you get into the meadow up there, you know, where your granddad
yeah.
had that big rock wall.
But then, you know, I don't know too much about that big rock wall. I've heard two or three different stories on that, and I don't ever remember my folks talking much about that. Mm-hmm. From my mother, I should say. Mm-hmm. I've heard that Granddad started to build a dam across there, and he was going to float the water back up the meadow mm-hmm. for irrigation. But that's about all I can tell you on that. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of remnants of it. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of rock there.
Yeah, somebody moved a lot of rock.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of it there.
Yeah. Do you recall anything that Perry, of course that was...
Yeah, know, I remember when the mill was at Perry, mm-hmm. but I don't remember anything about it.
What about the dam that's there at the...
At Perry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where the dam was, yeah. Mm-hmm. They used that for their mill pond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a dam in the river, and that's what they used for yeah. their mill pond.
Do you recall, Glenn, anything... Because I had a picture that said a mill or a dam above Perry, and it showed like a trestle bridge going across the top of the dam, which wasn't the lower one there, of where, or any remnants of that, or where that might have been.
No, I don't.
Yeah, because it didn't have, it would have been the turn of the century before, you know, you were born. But
yeah.
I never, you know, haven't been able to track that one down exactly what that was.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. What about the main dam there at Perry? Do you remember when they blew that out of there or when they took that out?
Well, I do and I don't. I remember when they kicked it out. It was after the mill closed. And they started moving everything out, and then they went up and blowed the dam. And that so they said that dam was stopping the fish from going up.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up and blowed it. But now, that's all I can tell you about that. And I remember that, but that's it.
Yeah, because, see, it was 1926, supposedly, when they took the mill over to Pondosa.
Yeah.
When they tore it out. And I have never seen, you know, a specific date of when they blew the dam and how long that would have been after that, after they moved.
Well, a person ought to be able to find that out pretty easy around here from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has got a picture.
Well, John Turner, they've got one when they show a little plume going up when they were shooting the thing. But the only thing I could find on that picture, it said early 1930s.
No, somebody got a picture around here, and I looked at it not long ago, and I can't think who had it, that has got a picture of the bunches of workers at Perry at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the mill, front of the mill and all.
Oh, yeah.
It shows
mm-hmm.
the green chain and one thing and another. Mm-hmm. But I can't think who's got that.
Yeah.
If I can think mm-hmm. who's got that, one of these days I'll let you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because everyone's got it would let you look at it, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a lot of pictures that show the dam and, you know, the overall,
yeah.
you know, like there. But then there's always some good ones out there you never know about.
Oh, sure they are.
That's
just like the old Bowman Hicks mill. Mm-hmm. How many people's got pictures of the old Bowman Hicks mill down there?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them around probably, but mm-hmm. you don't know who's
got. Yeah, you don't see them, yeah.
No. Now you know where the Bowman Hicks mill was.
Yeah, evidently, didn't they buy out Palmer?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's the Palmer mill. Is that the fairgrounds? Isn't that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, it'd be right there by the fairgrounds.
Yeah. Because, see, that originally was a Palmer mill.
Yeah.
And then evidently, I think that Bowman Hicks bought Palmer out and then, you know, just took over the property there.
Well.
Because Bowman Hicks supposedly had that mill plus one up in Wallowa.
Reason I can remember the Bowman Hicks mill supplying some people from over to Cove that lived in Cove, and we went to school together by the name of Petermans. And Gerald Peterman, who just passed away here in the last month and a half, and his younger brother Frankie just passed away about 2 weeks ago. Well, they got Dan and his wife, and I can't think of what her name was, to go over there, and she did the cooking, you know, for the for the crew there to Bowman Hicks Mill.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan, he was the caretaker of the stuff around there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go over there and stay, just, you know, just to be with Gerald and him from Cove.
Yeah. Do you remember where they were getting all their lumber from for that one?
Their logs?
Yeah.
Most all of it was coming from up the river.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
From there?
Yeah, most all of it, as I recall, was coming from up the river.
Okay. There's no Mount Emily, they were getting, you know, all theirs was coming from up there, you know,
mm-hmm.
most of the years up there, but I didn't know about Bowman Hicks, and I've never been able to run that one down much of, you know, much information on it, except that they existed and had the railroad and that. What about in the valley itself, for the Grand Ronde, as far as changes of old vegetative types and like, you know, the cottonwood communities, it seemed to me there used to be quite a few, weren't there, along parts of the river? Or?
Well, there used to be a few. I don't ever remember too many cottonwoods after you got past Peach Lane.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be some from Island City down to Peach Lane.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. These upper reaches, seeing, you know, like, of course, through the Grand here and going out that direction, quite a few cottonwoods. But then I talked to Bill Howell the other day and said, of course, you got a few patches down that lower end of the valley.
Yeah, there's you have when you go on down, lower end.
Yeah. But then most of it in between. What, do you remember what kind of brush was in there? Or
well, most all the brush, like, was on the state ditch and on the river was thorn and willow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why the state ditch never did grow a lot of thorn, because see the old Catherine Creek, see that was the old Catherine Creek that came down from Union through there,
mm-hmm.
and then the Grand Round River went through
mm-hmm.
and crossed the highway Hood to Cross 1, 2, 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and they run together out in what. Now it belongs to a Conley place,
right.
but at that
mm-hmm.
time it was the Puck. When the years back, it was known as the Puckett place,
mm-hmm.
where they run together. And then when the bunch in the valley dug the state ditch, and they dug that with horses, plows, and Fresnos,
mm-hmm.
and they started letting a little water through it, and it just washed itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And then see, mm-hmm. you don't find any cottonwoods on that. You don't find hardly any thorn.
No, it's hardly anything.
It's all willow, but the little bit you find is willow.
Yeah, just there isn't really too much. You know?
No.
Of course, it's a lot wider. Talking to Bill again, you know, he said like high water that saturate those banks.
Sure.
And then that brush that cave in, you know, a lot of that just kept getting wider and wider, you know, over the years there.
My dad helped dig that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was one of the crew that helped dig that. Horses and Fresnos and all.
Mm-hmm. Remember about what year that was?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I remember him talking about it, but that's, you know, that's been a long time ago.
Yeah. By any chance, do you know if anyone's got any pictures of the horses in Fresno, you know, where they're digging ditch or scraping with them?
No, the nearest of anybody that I would know of that might have some pictures of that would be Joe Sparks. Now, the way he might have some is his mother married Bill Miller. And Bill Miller lived out there on the place that Joe has now. It was left to him. And possibly the Bill Miller family might have had some pictures of that, and if they did, probably Joe would have them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else would have them, but that would be my nearest place to tell you who
Yeah, might just have. It'd be nice to get pictures, you know, just showing how some of that was done
mm-hmm.
in the early years like that. I just haven't run across anything. No, it was done that way. But
well, yeah, it, you see a piece in the paper every now and then about something on that river,
mm-hmm.
on the state ditch, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that just the how they used to excavate, you know, or build roads like that with the.
And they said, from what I've heard my dad and a lot of them say, is when they dug that, it was, I think they dug it about 10 feet wide, as I recall.
Well, originally what I ran into was 6 feet wide and 6 feet deep was the information that
well,
I got.
Well, it seemed like my dad and some of them, I've heard them talk about it, they dug it about 10 feet wide and about 6 feet deep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then turned the water in it and just let the water a little bit at a time and let it run down. And that's what washed it out and made the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where... it's as long back as I can remember, it's been called a state ditch.
Yeah, well, it is on the maps yet. You know, it still shows you.
So, where it got the name of the state ditch, I don't know.
Well, originally, I think the state let the contract, is what it
was. Was that it?
Yeah.
And it was built for flood control.
Yeah.
That's what it was built for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's drained a lot of land, to, you know, for agricultural, because of the amount of land that, you know, went out along the Grand Ronde there.
Oh, there's lots of it went out.
Do you remember, as far as when the Davis dams and when those were built?
No, I don't. They've been there as long back as I can remember. Because ever since I was probably 10 years old, I used to go out there and fish behind them for salmon.
Oh, yeah.
You could always fish behind them with the hook and line, you know.
Or use mostly hook and lines, how you're getting them?
That's three. I was getting a lot of use anything else at that time. Now you can go on up above Union and use a grab hook or a gig or a spyglass to locate salmon with down in the river. And that wasn't against the law then.
How plentiful were the salmon in there at that time?
There was lots of lots of salmon in Captain Creek at that time. They was, why, you could go up there. When I first started fishing salmon with the grab hook and all up there, I think you was allowed 4 salmon a day. And you could go up there any time and just fish a little ways up the creek and look at them old drifts and stuff, and you could get 4 salmon. It didn't take but a little while.
Remember about what year that would have been?
Well, back, I started in the 20s, you know. And the Indians used to go up there and they had their dryers and stuff in the old Miles place. And their teepee poles and everything, and that's, for years and years and years, they went up there with their horses and wagons and their stuff, you know. And that's where they got a lot of their salmon for their winter food, was out of Catherine Creek.
Do you remember how they used to catch them up there?
They caught them with grab hooks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long poles. And they'd be 8 or 10 of them Indians get together, and they'd start up and down the creek, and they'd poke back underneath the banks with sticks, as young ones would, the young bucks, and then they'd kick a salmon out, and they'd start, always seem like they always go up the creek, and they'd let out a war whoop out of them, and then the old Indian just stand up there on those riffles, and when they'd come by, why, they'd catch them with those grab hooks and them long. They had poles. It was probably, they had to be 12 to 15 feet long, and a grab hook on the end that was tied onto the pole with a rope, see? And that way they could reach way out there.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember about how far up they used to fish?
The Indians?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They used to fish up through the Hall Ranch. And that was, I never remember seeing any Indians above the Hall Ranch.
Do you recall about how many of them would be up there at the Miles place? Or?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, they used to be a lot of them. As I remember back now, I bet they was 25 or 30 of them would be up there at a time. And they was all coming from Pendleton.
Yeah. But you used to come with horse and wagon?
Yeah, come with their buggies and packs and whatever, what you had in there. Bring all their stuff over that way.
Do you remember any change as far as if they, you know, once they went from that to automobile or any other, or numbers of, you know, when that changed up there at the Miles place? Or?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say because there at the Miles place, the Indians were still coming over there after World War II. But they wasn't doing as much fishing, but they were still coming over there and putting up their teepees, and they'd catch a few salmon, But then they was coming over in cars at that time, see?
That's what I meant, is just once you got better roads and automobiles.
And they got a little money to buy with, why then they start coming over with cars and their pickups and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bet you can go up there today and see remnants of that there at the Miles place. You know where the Miles place is?
Not exactly.
Well, I'll tell you where it is. As you start up, you know, as you start up Catherine Creek, and where you get to where you can turn off to the left and go up High Valley Road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, just follow right on up, and when you come to where the river is right down below you, the first place you can really see it.
Yeah, right close there.
Right close there, the house in the red barn that sits down underneath the hill before you get there. That's the old Ed Miles place.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right there. And the Indians camped right up there in that little flat. Where you're looking down into the river,
oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And there's some cottonwood trees there. That's where they camped all the time.
Be right there between the river and the road, then, that cottonwood patch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right there in those cottonwoods.
Because I remember, right, it doesn't that spread out where there's a pretty good meadow both sides, and there
But see, on the mountains, not on the south side, that was farm ground.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. See, mm-hmm. And I think it still is.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But there that one place right underneath them. The road in that big flat where those big cottonwood trees was, that's where the Indians would put up their camps, and they'd have 7 or 8 teepees put up there in their big drying place to dry their fish. It was pretty interesting. I know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to like to go by there and look and see what I could see.
How about as far as the brushes up through there? Because I think I talked to Myron Ricker, and he said, you know, of course, a lot of this
been
cleared, you know, and leveled off in there of mm-hmm. what it was like before they did that.
Well, you know, as far back as I can remember, I can't remember too much difference in that. Mm-hmm. I know Meyer cleaned some of that out,
mm-hmm.
and that's up by where the city intake
right, yeah. mm-hmm.
is and all through there, mm-hmm. and clear on up through there. I think there have been more land cleared up in the old Edwardson place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Edelson place
yeah.
is? That's
yeah.
just this side of the Miles place.
Oh, yeah.
Back mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Edelson place has had more land cleared mm-hmm. than any place up and down Catherine Creek.
Yeah.
That is, after you leave Union.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I think, Huffman Leonard had some of that cleared, didn't he?
He had the Miles place.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I can't remember just how much of that, but that was...
Well, he owned all the Miles place at one time,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Because I never saw the flats there, but I knew he was in there you know, and had some of that. But.
And the place, as I say, just this side of the Miles place, mm-hmm. then that was the
Edelson.
Edelson's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. They had that was a big family, Edelson's yeah. was.
What about coming back on Little Creek there, you know, just east of the Stock Show grounds?
Yeah.
Do you remember any change or that when they...
Well, no, not really.
Because it used to be, I talked to Dick Bonnet, he said, you know, it used to be a lot of beaver and a lot of brush in
it
there.
It was.
About when that might have been changed up or...
No. I don't remember, because I never had no occasion to be right over in there.
Yeah, I didn't know if you got over that.
No, you know, I'd go on up the creek,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't get...
It's kind of out of your way unless
yeah.
you go back around the old road.
Yeah, and see right. there mm-hmm. there where the gun club is now, that was the old fish hatchery.
Right.
See,
mm-hmm.
Dick Bunny's
yeah.
folks run that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you fish much up Catherine Creek?
Well, yeah, quite a lot.
What about as far as numbers of fish and species and like that?
Well, you caught lots of rainbow, you caught quite a lot of bull trout, and you caught a few eastern brook. Mm-hmm. Which we always used to wonder where the eastern brook comes from.
Yeah.
But your guess is as good as mine where they came from. I've caught eastern brook up the Grand Ram.
Over there? Uh-huh.
So, where did they come from? Mm-hmm. Out of some of them lakes or what?
Yeah, because of course they transplanted a lot of things. You know,
yeah, but I never did know them to put any eastern brook in any of the streams.
No, I don't know.
The only stream that I ever knew of in this country that had eastern brook in was the North Minum. Mm-hmm. That's way up the Big Minum River above Red's Horse Ranch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and up in them meadows, and Roy Schaefer lived in Malau and had lap over cabins.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the one that packed the eastern brook trout and put it in the meadow up there. Mm-hmm.
You recall, Glenn, on the Minum River, that splash dam that was there, of about when that might have been put in?
Well, it was put in when they started logging up there, and the last load of logs went down the Minum River in 1919. Mm-hmm. So, ever how many years they logged that? Now, I suppose, I know a lady that would have all of that information if a person could get it, and that's Lola Ogden, and she lives in Weezer, Idaho, and I can't, her name isn't Ogden now. She's about, she's getting way up in her 90s, and I talked to her 3-4 years ago. And see, they used to own Red's place. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a letter to the Observer when all this stink was going on about Red's place and said she wanted to set the world straight on that place in there. Because they owned it and let it go back for taxes. I believe it was in 1906. Or 19... I shouldn't say, because I'm not real sure on the date. Mm-hmm. But they let it go back for taxes.
Oh,
so she could tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you when that splice dam was put in up there.
Mm-hmm.
And see, there was no salmon got above that splice dam.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally the game commission went up there and blowed a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't either. I shouldn't say that. They couldn't get up over the falls. See, the falls, the reason they put that splice dam in there was a meadow there. And them rocks and all everything was right there at the gorge where the falls is on the Big Minum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had to blow a hole in the falls for the salmon to get up over the falls.
Mm-hmm.
And they burnt the splice dam out. Mm-hmm. They burnt it out. So,
do you recall about when that would have been?
And they burned it out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It was after World War II was over.
Mm-hmm.
When they were floating those logs down the river, whereabouts was the mill? On
Minum Town.
At Minum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they did the same trick at Minum Town as they did up at Perry. They had their pond and the Minum River down there. It's there where the flat is, just before you cross the Minum and the Lau on the right down in toward the river there.
You remember who had that mill or who that belonged to?
No, I really don't. I want to say for some place or another in the back of my mind that Fleecer from Minum Town had that mill. But I could be, but you could find out real easy if that's right, because she's still alive, the Fleecer girl.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I think maybe she lives there at the motel at Minum Town.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I'm not real sure. Yeah. I was trying to think of what her first name was, and I'd be darned if I could think what it is now.
Well, talking to somebody in Mount Emily, they said that if he didn't own it, I know he hauled logs in there, or lumber, and I'll get claimed in that, because there's that other mill down there, Looking Glass, that he had.
Yeah,
evidently.
But I don't know who. Now, wait a minute, the one at Looking Glass, I don't think Fleecer had that.
Well, or he might have been hauling in there, I'm not real sure, because somebody talked about working for him, and they were down in that country at one time, but I don't know the total background on that.
Well, I don't either. That was I was kind of out of my jurisdiction too, going down into there.
Yeah. What about as far as flooding of the valley? Do you remember any during your lifetime of...
The worst flood that I can remember of in the valley was in 1960, three or four, whenever that big flood was in the valley.
I think it's December 64, and then slopped over to 65 there.
Well, all right. Yeah. That's the worst one I can remember in the valley. And it happened in February. Is when it happened, because I come into the Elks in LeGrand, and they was having the ladies' Elks crab feed at the Elks for the ladies. And I went home, and my wife and a bunch more of the girls from Cole was over to the crab feed, and they was didn't want to come home very early, and I went home, and when I got out the other side of where Hammond Willie Hammond lives
Willie Hammond, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you got across that bridge out there going on toward Cove, the water was coming across the highway. And it was pretty...